I have a burden this evening about satisfaction. I believe that that is the desire of God, that each and every one of us be satisfied. This is the heart of God. This was the work of Christ, what He endeavored to do for you and I. Before we begin tonight, I would that we would open in prayer. Most Holy Father God, we come before You tonight, acknowledging our dependence is solely upon You, knowing, Lord, that if our soul is to receive anything that is of lasting value, that it must come from heaven. Lord, also we know that we must be honest with You. And so it is our earnest prayer tonight, dear God, that as Your word goes forth, that You would help each and every one of us to be honest before You, God, not to be thinking of our neighbor, our brother, our sister, or anybody else, Lord, but as this message goes forward, as Your word is there, Lord, may it find lodging in my heart. May we all have opportunity, Lord, to search ourselves tonight, to examine, to allow Your word to dig at us, dear God, knowing that it is not Your desire to crush us, but it is Your desire to take us to heaven, to be in glory with You. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe with my whole heart tonight, the key to being successful with God, the key to having satisfaction, hinges on our honesty. I was talking with someone the other day, and I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I read the Bible, I read some stories, and I wonder. I have some questions. Ananias, Sapphira. They came before the Lord's anointed Peter there, and they told him a lie, and they were dead on the spot. But then I think about David and all the different things and the many grievous and presumptuous sins that he had. Yet the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. That makes me wonder. I feel like the Lord answered that. The difference between Ananias and Sapphira, what separated them from receiving the forgiveness and the mercy of God that David received time and time again, was the fact that they were dishonest. Yet David, in many places, he said, "My sin is ever before me." When Nathan the prophet said, "Thou art the man," he repented, he acknowledged that, "Yea, Lord, I am weighed and found wanting, and that's where I'm at tonight." You know, it's no different for you or I. When it comes to our life, when it comes to our Christian experience, God wants it to be one of satisfaction. If we say it this way, God has created a plan where it's 100% satisfaction, guaranteed. Guarantee that if you'll invest in God, if you'll be honest with the Lord and you'll allow Him to speak to your heart and to point out the things that are in the way that are hindering, you'll be completely satisfied. I want to get a little bit of scripture here. Fourth chapter of John to bear a little bit of this out. Won't read the whole thing, but here we find the Lord that He had to go to Samaria to speak to the woman at the well. And He said in the 7th verse, "There cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." Tonight, when it comes to satisfaction, if we're going to put it in a natural sense, every soul, before it comes to God, is parched and dry, like a desert. Every soul has within it a need, a longing, a desire for a wedding, for a saturation, to be cooled. The rich man, when he was speaking to Moses, or Abraham rather, and he said, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in the cool of the water, that he might bring me one little drop. There was a thirsting. There was a longing. Tonight, every soul has that longing for God. Sad to say, many try a different drink. Many try a different remedy to satisfy that desire, that parchedness, that thirstiness in their soul. And so it was for this woman. And Jesus was talking more than just about natural water, but He was talking about the water that He would give that would satisfy a soul all the days of its life. We get dissatisfaction for a lot of reasons. But I want you to know tonight, that is not the plan. That is not the desire. That is not the will of God. That you and I should go and live our life in a place where we're dissatisfied. Tonight, I believe the Lord desires to ask of each of us, saved, unsaved, are you satisfied? Are you truly satisfied in your soul and every facet, in every little area? Is God truly satisfying your soul? You know it's God's desire. Scripture over in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Many things going on. It's Lord was rebuking them, saying, is this the fast that I have chosen? And He went on to specify the things that the Lord desires. But we want to get a little bit of the 10th verse. And the 11th verse. And it says, and if they draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. This is what the heart of God is concerning you. When He said in the 29th chapter, He says, I know my thoughts concerning thee, to prosper thee, to bring thee to an expected end. This is what God had in mind. This is what was in the heart of God when He looked upon creation, when He turned to Christ in heaven and said, Son, will you go down? Will you work a work? Will you be willing to be the sacrifice that is needed for a thirsty and a dying and a dried up and a parched people that can't do anything of themselves to satisfy? All we can do in our own selves is be like the woman at the well. We can go there and we can get ourselves a little drink, and all it does is cool the natural tongue. But the reality is tonight that there are some here that regardless of how many times they take a sip of water, regardless of how many times they try to pour some sort of satisfaction on their soul, they're still dissatisfied. People living in sin, you'll never, never be satisfied. I know this by my own experience. I know this by the experience of those that are close to me and the multitude of people that I see throughout the world. I know this by going to the grocery store. You see the magazines of all the people that have had wealth, fame, drugs, alcohol, everything that you could possibly imagine. It's at their within their disposal. And yet they're continually up there month after month after month after month. Sadness, despair, despondency, no satisfaction. When I was a kid, before I was even a kid, the Rolling Stones wrote a song. They said, I can't get no satisfaction. This is the testimony of sin tonight. They talked about the other night about what are the benefits of living in sin. And if we were, we could list them up here. And you can make a nice long list of all the different things. You got some fun, entertainment, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. But the reality of it is tonight, it all ends at the grave. Regardless of what sin wants to offer you, regardless of all of the enticements, regardless of how much fun you think you're going to have, it ends at the grave. The truth of the matter is, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Yes. Every single one of us tonight will die. There is no escaping it. Men have tried for years. Walt Disney's frozen somewhere in California on a belief that he could come back to life. But the truth of the matter is, he's dead. That's it. When God calls up your number, when God calls up your time, there is no more opportunity. It is now judgment time. It is time to do business with God. You know the Lord wants to do that tonight. God wants to do business with those that are being duped. If I can put it this way, my cousins kind of make fun of me because I tend to be a little bit cheap. So I don't always shop at Home Depot and buy DeWalt. I usually go to Harbor Freight. And you know what? I'm usually dissatisfied. Because it's an inferior product. I find their little finish nailer that I have to putty because the hole is so big. The expensive tools, the nice ones, they don't work like that. I know we use a humorous analogy, but the truth of the matter is, tonight, when it comes to living in sin, there are all kinds of things at the devil's Harbor Freight, if you will, that he's willing to offer to you. All kinds of little substitutions for the things that God is willing to bless you with already. God is willing to give you the real deal, the thing that is genuine, the best quality, will never let you down. Anytime you need it, it is always there. But the devil wants to sell you something a little cheaper. The cost is less. But the quality won't last. The benefits of living for God. I'll say it this way. Scripture says, come and let us reason together, right? God gave us a mind. We're able to use it. And so I will tonight, for some of you that tend to be a little bit more intellectual, I want to do a little comparison for you. As you look and behold tonight, I want you to consider the different things that the devil's lied to you about, the benefits of living in sin. And I want you to consider the fact that you know tonight that they'll end when your life expires. And then we want to compare. We want to reason. When it comes to the benefits of God, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and so many different other things, not to mention the beauty of belonging to a family that you know that loves you, that you belong to a family that is concerned enough that when you're in an accident, they get on their knees and they pray and they help bear your burden. Every single one of those benefits, you get to take them with you when you die. The benefits of living for God do not expire with this world, but rather they get blown up, magnified, supersized, or however you want to describe it. But when you take those things, they go with you right into glory. Yes. I want to say this. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. I know you're not satisfied. I lived there a long time. I tried a lot of different things. But at the end of the night, when the music faded, TV went off, phone shut off, there were no more distractions, and I laid there on my bed. God in His mercy He reminded me of that dissatisfaction. He reminded me of that void within my soul. That thing that I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know how to describe it, but I knew that when I laid on my bed at night, that there was something that I was lacking. There was just something that I needed. I just wasn't satisfied. I had friends. I had family that loves me. I had different things going on, a job and all those different kinds of things. All the different things that are supposed to make you happy. And to a certain degree, I was happy. But I couldn't shake that feeling at night when I lay there in my bed all alone. No more distractions. Forced, to be honest. God doesn't want you to be there. God wants to satisfy that need in your heart, those things that you desire, those longings that you have, that thing that maybe you don't know what it is. You don't know how to describe it. You don't know what you're missing. It's the risen Savior. It's Jesus Christ and His desire to take abode in your life and abundantly satisfy. That's why He said to the woman, if you knew what you really had need of, if you really knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink. Tonight Jesus says, you don't know what you have need of, but I'm here to give it to you. This is the heart of God. This is the desire of God. Another place the Scripture says, God is not willing that any perish, but that all should come unto everlasting life. Everlasting. That should appeal to us. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are mortal. Our life is going to end. There is no escaping that. Death is a reality. Oh, but to those that are found in Christ Jesus, death is just the beginning. Death is just the beginning of the glory of God that we're able to behold. The satisfaction that we'll have over there. But you know the Lord desires that we have satisfaction here. God knows specifically what your need is. It was brought out the other night about the rich young ruler. And Jesus pinpointed just exactly what his need was. I can't do that for you tonight. I can't. But the Spirit of God does. And even though the Spirit of God might do His job, and even though as a vessel of the Lord I might do my job, it's of no effect unless you're willing to be honest. Unless you're willing to be honest with the dealings of the Lord and the Lord speaking to your heart and the Lord being specific and the Lord putting His finger on it and saying, that right there, that's your need. You know, the Lord has something for those that are saved tonight. He desires for us to be satisfied. I imagine your experience is somewhat like mine. That from time to time, because of my own doing, I become dissatisfied. There are a couple different reasons why those things happen. In a natural sense, your body, God has made it, says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the more I learn about the human body, the more amazed I am at how incredible God really is. And your body has the ability to send messages to your brain when you have needs. But you know, sometimes in our ignorance, we misread the message. In a natural sense, your body can tell you that you need protein and it'll send a message to you. And in your mind, sometimes you get that little need and your brain's telling you, hey, you need some protein. You need something a little bit healthy. And you turn it around and eat a Snickers bar. Because the last time you had that craving, you ate a Snickers bar and it felt okay. But the truth is, your body didn't get what it needed. It got a substitute. You know, there are times spiritually when the Lord is dealing with you and I, when He's talking to us as individuals, and God in His Spirit and in His mercy and in His graciousness will send down a little impulse to you and desire to speak to your spirit, and He'll send a little message to you, and He'll say, I need you to do something. And we recognize, okay, the Lord's dealing with me, I have a craving, and we do something a little different than what we need. Lord is telling you you need protein, spiritually speaking, and you go after a Snickers bar. You know where you're going to end up? Dissatisfied. Dissatisfied because you weren't doing what the Lord was asking of you. Dissatisfied because you weren't properly listening and adhering to what the leadings and the guidings of the Spirit were. Tonight, that's a danger. Sometimes the Lord calls us to get a little closer to Him. Sometimes the Lord wants to deal with our soul and cause us to come to a place of greater consecration. And in our ignorance, maybe in our unwillingness, we decide to get more zealous and accuse others. You're on the road to dissatisfaction. When God is dealing with your soul, when God is sending messages to you, it doesn't mean that it's always for somebody else. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a place where the Lord has given me something, and I keep putting it on other people, and I put it on them, and I put it on them, and everybody I see, and I want to put it on them, and pretty soon I get frustrated. Well, why aren't they moving up? Why aren't they doing what I'm telling them? Dissatisfied. Misreading the cues from God. Not understanding His willingness to deal with my soul and what my need is. God's heart tonight is that His children come to the realization that we have realistic expectations. And when we talk about realistic expectations, that means that for you and I, when it comes to our life, when it comes to the deep needs in our soul, when it comes to the things that we need to be answered, comes to the things that we need satisfied, we need to go to Jesus. I want to read to you a little parable. I believe it's in the 5th chapter of John. Fifth chapter of John will begin in the 5th verse. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. That's longer than I've been alive. That's a long time to be dealing with something. That's a long time to be dissatisfied. This man was laying there, and when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. You ever been in the place where you felt like everybody else was getting the blessing? Lord, where's my blessing? I want it. The pool is being troubled. The angel has come down. The Spirit of the Lord has moved. And there's blessings falling down. And it seems like everybody else is getting theirs. Where's mine? You want to know why this man was dissatisfied? He said, because when the water was troubled, there was no man to help me get there. And the reality is tonight for you and I that when it comes to getting the blessings of God, that it's not for you and I to rely upon another man to get us there. It's not for you and I to rely upon others. The Scripture tells, it is borne out that in the natural temple, that veil was rent in twain, thereby signifying access to every man, woman, and child to God themselves. And so it is when we want satisfaction in our own hearts, in our own lives, in our own Christian experience. I'm not talking to the unsaved right now. I'm talking about those of us that are saved, that have been in that place maybe for 38 years where I've been going through the motions, I've been acting by faith, but I'm still dissatisfied. I still have some things. I have an area, Lord, in my life that I've neglected. That I just push it in the closet and forget all about it, trying to emphasize everything that's right. God doesn't want you to carry that around anymore. God is not expecting me or any other minister or any other person that you hold in esteem and confidence to solve the problem for you. You see, when we go to other folks, there are times that they can help us. But the reality is, they're like me and they're like you. They're men. They're women. They're frail. They're weak. They have failures, shortcomings. But when we read in Judas, is now unto him who's able to keep you from falling.
Yes.
You're not going to fall down and skin your knee if you don't want to. He is well capable of holding you up and steadying you. But the question is tonight that we pray that we would be honest, that Lord, you would search our heart, and now is the time for you and I to be honest with God. Are there areas in my life where I've relied upon the church too much? Where I've relied upon this particular minister or this brother or this sister that I hold in high regard? Have I relied upon them? Have I expected them to satisfy the longing of my heart? Is that why I'm dissatisfied? Is that why I've had this thing for such a long period of time? This man sat for 38 years, impotent, dissatisfied. This is not God's design for His people. This is not God's design for His church. He says that He desires us to be lively stones. He desires for us to be a people that are fat and flourishing, whose waters fail not, so that we can be found as a people that even when we come together in such a great host as this, that when people come in our midst, they can behold what's going on. They can look around. We don't have to make up. We don't have to conjure up any emotion. They can look around and they can see genuine satisfaction that comes from the throne of God. This is what God desires for every man, woman, and child.
Yes.
This is the glory of God.
Yes.
You think Peter was satisfied when he started sinking? He was pretty happy when he was walking on the water. I would have loved to have seen the expression on his face. He had to have been pretty excited. I'm walking on water. But when he got his eyes off the Lord, down he went. There's a spiritual principle in that.
Yes.
A principle that applies to you and I in 2010. That'll apply from now till the end of time. And that truth is simply this. That there are times when you and I get dissatisfied because our eyes are in the wrong place.
That's right.
And it's time for us again to be honest with God. He already knows your heart. He already knows your mind. He already knows your attitudes and your thoughts and where they go. And I'll tell you tonight, the devil is willing to help you go. But I can testify, you'll not be satisfied there. When you want to look at others, when you find yourself, if you get persuaded to go this way, where the Lord is maybe calling you, sometimes the Lord wants to call us and we decide that we need to go fault find. There's a problem there. There's another one there. There's another one there. I promise you, that's real easy to do. You want to know what's hard to do? Look at the man in the mirror. Look at the man in the mirror. Examine your own selves and see whether you be in the faith, is what the examination was. He said that you weren't to compare yourselves among yourselves because that wasn't wise. Why? Because it only breeds distrust, a lack of love, a lack of unity, a lack of confidence. Does that bring you closer? Does that bring you closer to God? No. It only brings dissatisfaction. When your eyes are kept on Jesus, it doesn't matter what comes your way. He will satisfy.
Yes.
He will satisfy.
Amen.
This past year, a lot of great things happened. Some bad things happened. I had an experience with a cousin of mine growing up. Used to beat him up all the time. Not proud of it. Obviously wasn't saved. A couple months ago, got a phone call from my mom. She's in hysteria, crying. This cousin had shoved my mom out the door and onto the floor. I wasn't satisfied. It's quite a trial. Got off the phone, got in the van, started driving home, and immediately my mind's going, okay, it's 20 minutes to the airport, 2.5 hour flight to Phoenix, another hour to get to his house, and I'll take care of this. That's where I was at. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to hide. Because when you're honest with God, you're on the road to satisfaction. There is something within a little boy that goes up into manhood, where you have a reverence, an honor, and a desire to protect and care for mama. I'm no different. And so there I was in this battle, struggling, trying to figure out what to do. And I took a little time to pray. Left to my own devices, it's not going to be good. And as I took the time to pray, the Lord began to speak to me. And as clear as you speak to me now, I could hear the Lord. And He says, you can go down there. You can do that. And you know you're capable. But you also know that you're the only true representative of Christ to Him. And what will that say to Him about me? You know what that gave me? It gave me a satisfactory answer. It gave me a satisfaction of knowing that the right thing to do is to stay on my knees and pray for Him and take no action myself. That the right thing to do was to let go of all that stuff to get to the place where, Lord, my mother too is Yours. I'm willing to make that consecration. If I'd have went and talked to somebody, they probably could have gave me some counsel and some advice. But I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't have satisfied in here. It wouldn't have done it. It had got here. But Jesus, oh dear God, Jesus has the ability, it says, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, He has the ability to write in us a new chapter in those areas where we think we're dissatisfied. The Lord has an answer for you. This is the heart of God. This is that living water that fails not, that Jesus was talking about when He was talking to that woman at the well. And so we can be assured tonight to those of us that are saved and we have areas in our life where we're not, if we'll be honest, we're not satisfied. Lord, I would like to see this a little bit different. Lord, I would like this to come out in a different way. Lord, I'd like to this. If you stop looking to others, if You stop looking at the devil and blaming him. What if you look at Jesus? In those areas of dissatisfaction, you can walk on water. 2010. You can walk on water in all those little areas of your life, even the ones in the deep recesses of your heart that you've stored away and just tried to pretend that it would go away, only to find it creeping its ugly head up every once in a while. God is troubling the waters tonight. He sent His angel to trouble those waters. There's no need for a man to do it for you. You can come down and do business with God all by yourself. The only thing it requires is honesty. Whether or not you're willing to be honest with God, He already knows. There's nothing you can hide. You can pretend all you want that it doesn't exist. He already knows it's there. But you say, well, if He knows, then why do I need to say anything? Because that's part of the healing process. Acknowledgement. Ananias and Sapphira were unwilling to acknowledge their wrong. They were unwilling to acknowledge their need. As a result, they died, not knowing the Savior. David is residing in heaven with God because he was willing to be honest. He was willing to say, Lord, I'm not even going to hide it from you. You already know it, but I'm going to tell it anyway because I don't want to be in a place where I'm dissatisfied any longer. I want to be in a place where I can be a witness. They sing up here about your candle and letting it light. And the truth of the matter is that God desires for each and every one of us to go out and to save the lost. But you're not a very convincing argument. You're not a very convincing product if you yourself are dissatisfied. God desires for us to come to a place that we are satisfied regardless of what happens. The Apostle Paul said it this way, not that I speak in respect of what, but I have learned that whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. You can beat me with the whip. You can stone me almost to death. Persecute me, spit on me, say all kinds of manner of bad things about me, and I'm still content. I am still satisfied. Why? Because I'm not depending upon you for my satisfaction. I'm depending on the one that never fails. Yes. Never fails. Yes. This is the one that is desiring to do business with you tonight. This is the one that is desiring, that is shaking the waters and saying, what is it, my child? Bring it to me. I'll satisfy it. Some of us here tonight, we have questions. We have wonders. Is God even real? I love that question. Oh, how many times can I tell? How many different stories where God has revealed Himself to me in such a miraculous way? But me telling you sounds good. It's inspiring. And it might last for a little while. But eventually you're going to get thirsty again. Rather than take a drink from me, my experience, or somebody else's experience, take a drink from the experience of Christ. Allow Him to satisfy the questions in your mind. If you have questions, it's not rebellion. If they're sincere and they're honest and there's no ulterior motive present, if you genuinely want to know something, God understands that.
Yes.
That's why He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him come to God.
Yes.
Who gives liberally and upbraideth not. God doesn't want you to be dissatisfied. God doesn't want you running around with your head in the cloud, not knowing why, not knowing if it's real or not. God wants a people that are sold out, 100% satisfied, consecrated. They've tasted it. They've experienced it. They know that this is the real deal and it is truly the best thing to offer to the world.
Yes.
If you're not there tonight, God wants to get you there. This is the heart of God. Question is, are you going to be honest? Are you going to be honest? Some people were like I was. Proud. I'm not going to that altar. Everybody will see me. God has something for that too. God has something for our pride to help us get beyond those things, to get beyond those feelings. And, well, people will see me, they'll wonder then. Oh, dear God. That we could know the satisfaction that He'll give that supersedes all those little thoughts, doubts, fears, wonders. Remember when the children of Israel, when they had the Passover in Egypt? Part of the commandment was that when they killed the sacrifice, that they were to take the blood and they were to put it over the door. You know why? Because God wanted a public display of affection to Him. God wanted a public display of faith in Him and His ability to deliver, so that when His angel passed by on the outside of the house and looked at the door, it could identify that that is a believer and follower of God. Amen. And you know what happened? They were blessed because of it.
Yes.
God is no different. God enjoys public display of affection. Look at the story of Jesus Christ. That's God telling you, I love you. That's God giving you a holy kiss. That's God giving you an embrace and causing you to know that you are my child, and I'll not do this in private. Jesus wasn't crucified in a little room where only a couple people saw. It was a public display for anybody in the community to come out and see. He loves you that much. The question is, do you love Him that much? Are you willing to make a public display? Are you willing to be honest with God and acknowledge, Lord, I've carried this around. I've lost sleep. I've been worried. I've been anxious. I've talked to other people. And it's still there. It still just doesn't feel quite right. There was a woman that had an issue of blood. Won't take time to read it, but it's in the 5th chapter of Mark, 25 through 33. There was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. I wonder how many times in those 12 years that her hope went up only to come crashing down. How many times did she think, well, I'll go to this specialist. I heard from so-and-so that he has the answer, and so I'll go and I'll see him. Only to find that the problem was not only still there, but it got worse. It's the mercy of God in those areas of your life where you're dissatisfied that they continue to get worse and worse and worse. It is the mercy of God because He's using that to draw you to Him.
Yes.
That you can come to the place where the woman with the issue of blood had finally said, of a truth, Lord, there's none other but You. And so if I could just touch the hem of Your garment.
Yes.
Because I'm dissatisfied. I'm not happy. There are areas in my life, Lord, I've tried all these different things. I've tried different men, and there's yet nobody that can put their finger on it, Lord. And I'm tired of carrying this around. Tonight, Jesus offers His hymn to you and to me. But it's going to require our honesty. It's going to require me to examine my life. No matter how long you've been carrying it. No matter how much the devil tells you, it's just your personality. That's just what you have to deal with the rest of your life. I'm going to tell you the truth tonight, that God has a living water for you that will fail not, that will supersede and erase those dissatisfactions. Will you be honest with Him? Will you be honest with God? If the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with you and He's putting His finger on something and you're tired of carrying it around, if you're living a loose life and you're tired of feeling that void, will you be honest with God? Will you let Him supersede your wildest expectations? Will you allow Him to satisfy you in ways that you're not even able to comprehend? Let us stand and sing.